We are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, host of You Pod to Win the Game. Good friend of this program. He is Charles Robinson. Charles, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well, brother. How you doing today?
Good, dude. Good. It's really good to have you back. Thanks so much. You are at Cowboys camp. I want to get into that in a minute, but first things first, I want to start with the NFL's memo yesterday about COVID policies for the year. You've called it, quote, the fire-breathing COVID memo, end of quote. If you read between the lines of this memo, how would you describe how the league feels about how things are right now? Is it frustrated with guys who are not getting vaccinated? And if so, how come?
Yeah, I think there is an element of frustration. I think the league, if they were being completely honest, I think they thought this would be something they would not still be dealing with on this level as training camps were set to kick off. I think they thought they put out the 85% threshold for teams to meet, to loosen protocols. I think they thought, we'll get there. It's going to happen. And, you know, I think the league is upset now because it went through the informational phase of this and said, well, we're going to make anybody and everybody available to you. We're going to, you know, any information, anything you feel like is standing between you and the vaccine, we feel like we have the medical experts and the data to debunk this. And we don't want to make this a political issue. We don't want to make this an issue about patriotism or freedom or whatever. We just want to make it about health and safety, and we have that on our side. And then they moved on from that to the incentive phase, the, hey, you know, okay, we're going to loosen protocols. Here's what we're willing to do for you that's going to make your life so much easier if you're willing to get the vaccination. And I think they've gotten to the point now where to have, you know, still five teams that are under 70% vaccinated, you know, there's a number of teams that have a high vaccination rate, but overall I think the league thought it would be higher than 80% at this point, which is where it's sitting league-wide. And so I think this was it. This is where the league's like, all right, we're going to have to show you the punitive side of this, and we're going to show you the seriousness of this. And so, you know, you cause a schedule disruption, which we're talking about $100 billion TV contract kicking in 2023. We're not playing around with TV. So if you cause a schedule disruption, if what happens last season happens this season, the offending team, you're going to get a forfeit. And none of the players, both sides, none of you are getting paid. And the offending owner, you know, whoever owns the team that's the offending team that causes the schedule disruption, you are on the hook for all the expenses of the opposite team that is going to miss this game. So everything that, you know, whatever their financial outlay was during this week, guess what? You got to pay that. And I think it's just the league stepping up and saying, we tried to do it the nice way, and now we're digging a very, very deep line that's going to be punitive, and it's going to show you how serious we are about this. And players can grouse all they want. They can say whatever they want, but at the end of the day, you can either get in line with this and realize it's a business decision by the league, and it is ultimately a business, or you can make the decision for yourself and give up your salary for the season.
Charles Robinson is joining us. Well said. All right, so let me ask you also, because you're at that camp and I want to keep moving, it's easy, well, not always easy, to draw conclusions based on the early days of camp, but how does Dak Prescott look right now?
Well, he's healthy. You know, that was the big thing. You don't want to walk in and knowing this is someone who's shaking the rust off, you don't want to sit there and go, let me see how accurate this guy is. Let me see how in flow and in sync he is. Because I think if you were out there and you watch him, you go, hey, it's not the sharpest Dak's ever been. But that's not the box you want to check off on day one after the ankle injury and the surgery that he had. You want to walk in and go, does he look healthy to me? And the Cowboys did everyone a solid and said, hey, you know what? We're not just putting him out there for the entire practice and, you know, full go. We're going to move him around. And they rolled him out on a number of plays in 11-on-11 drills. And he looked fantastic. And I'm not talking about, hey, jogging rolls. I'm talking full speed, set up on his platform and rifle in a pass. Like, he did that a few times. And I sat there and I looked at him and I thought, hey, no limp. He's moving great. He's rolling great. For this stage right now, to me, he looks like the Dak who entered the season last year healthy. And that's the big box that I think you want to check off if you're a Cowboys fan, you know, watching him on the field right now. Now, there's, you know, he's got to get in sync and there's a lot of other things to happen. But as far as Dak goes, the biggest thing you want to get out of the way, I think right now, is out of the way.
Talking to Charles Robinson, All right, so this week you return to podcasting with You Pod to Win the Game, and the opening of it I thought was extremely heartfelt and personal. What was it like to be back podcasting without our guy, Therese, and to be carrying out the ideas for a podcast that you and he had talked about, but doing so without him?
I appreciate you talking about it. It was weird, honestly. Sure. It was really weird. It was a different experience. And usually, the way we formatted it before, he was the point guard. He was the guy who, brought us in and, in terms of, starting, kicking off the podcast and rolling out a topic and sort of beginning that process. And now I'm in that seat. And the first one, Dan Wetzel, our national columnist, sat in with me the first time. Dan and I have known each other 20 years. So that made it a little easier just from, the standpoint of having a guy in the seat with you who you know really well. But definitely different. Definitely a weird experience kind of going through that. But it is a format change that we planned. And, we're hoping that listeners will tune in. And we're going to do the same thing that we brought before in terms of trying to take people inside. If anything, I think we might be willing to roll out more information than we had in the past, because if there's one thing that I learned over this offseason, it's, maybe there's not going to be another day to share this with people. So if you got something that people want to hear and you think it's important, maybe roll it out today because you don't get tomorrow.
It's a really good point. Charles Robinson joining us. You mentioned Dan Wetzel, who I'm a huge fan of. I mean, he just one of the best to ever do it. You and he were talking about on the podcast, with the look at all the quarterbacks who have moved on from one team to another, who has the most riding on that? Is it Matthew Stafford? Is it Carson Wentz? Or is it somebody else?
Well, there were so many quarterback changes that, obviously there's it depends, I guess, how you want to approach the question. But I think for me personally, in a way, Sean McVay and Matt Stafford, because Sean McVay had a young quarterback that he took to the Super Bowl and they felt great about him. They signed him to a massive long-term extension. And then you paid through the nose to actually get someone else to take him, to deal multiple first-round draft picks along with Jared Goff, and then, for Matt Stafford. Now, I'm not saying Matt Stafford's not valuable, but it's not often you pay, to make a mid-20s, a quarterback who played in the Super Bowl and, has had some pretty decent stretches in his career. It's not often you pay to make that guy go away. But that's what the Rams did. And I think, I'm going to head to Irvine actually on Sunday to go and kind of start the process of talking to the Rams before they kick off camp. And I think everything right now orbits around Stafford, and if this works for the Rams, because it's going to be a little bit of a referendum on Sean McVay. You don't want to be that coach who starts pointing at quarterbacks and going, hey, I think I've got it right, and I'm moving forward with my offense, and I'm developing, but the quarterback's not developing with me. Not to take a shot at John Gruden here, but historically, that's sort of what got John Gruden into a place where people started to question John and his quarterbacks was, geez, it always seems to be the quarterback's problem for the offense or something that's not working and not necessarily John. You don't want Sean, if you're Sean McVay, you don't want to fall into that trap where people are going, hey, maybe it's not the quarterbacks. Maybe you're just not what we thought you were. I think Sean McVay is. And I tend to believe that Matt Stafford is going to be a guy who pays off. And as I said in the podcast, Sean Payton loved the living crap out of Matt Stafford. Kyle Shanahan loved the living crap out of Matt Stafford. And obviously Sean McVay. That's three pretty important guys offensively, three pretty important offensive minds that believe Matt Stafford is, I think they truly believe he's a top five, six quarterback in this league.
I tend to agree with him myself. I love the guy. Charles Robinson joining us, but we'll find out really quickly. Speaking of quarterbacks, what about Aaron Rodgers? How can I not ask you that? Do you expect him to play with a new team this season, next season, never? How does it play out?
We're getting to the nitty-gritty, and I personally think that I'm going to side with the Packers here, and they're betting on him showing. Like, the Packers are sitting there going, we've put out a contract that would make Aaron, the highest-paid quarterback in the league, the highest-paid player in the league, depending on how you look at the numbers. We know he's a competitor. We know he's going to want to be in here. Yeah, you know what? He hasn't been a part of our program at all during the offseason. We're going to sit here and look at it and say, hey, Aaron was taking a mental reset, but he's going to show up. The money's going to get this done. I think it's just interesting because for Aaron, he's got enough money that it shouldn't just be about money. I think what Aaron wants right now, and I think this is what people should pay close attention to, if he signs that contract, I can tell you, I think Aaron would like some element of control early in that contract to go, hey, you know, if I'm still not down with the front office culture, you guys say you're changing and everything's going to be great and we're going to go in this, you know, more communal direction with me involved. If we go through the 2021 season and that doesn't happen and I'm still thinking it's the same old show, I want the ability to move on after 2021. I think that's what Aaron would still want, and that would help to have him show up. But I am stunned, frankly, that we are this late in the game with both Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. I think even their own teams don't know exactly what's going to happen with those situations.
They're dug in. Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, host of You Pod to Win the Game, and as I mentioned, good friend of the program. Appreciate you, my brother. Thank you very much. Great job.
Thank you, Jim. You're the best.
You too, dude. Sincerely. Charles Robinson. And it was great to see him back doing the pod. I know that was very difficult for him.